everyone, and welcome to our dinner table, where you are welcome to join us every week. I'm Aislinn Campbell, and with me, of course, is my lovely co-host,
Joe Hilliard.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Welcome to the dinner table.
It's raining outside.
Yes, it is.
It's a kind of a sexy every once in a while.
I do like the thunder. No doubt about that. I enjoy it very much. On another completely different note, it is a huge, massive, exciting day in my life.
What's that?
It's my son's 21st birthday.
Boom.
I'm the mother of a 21-year-old.
How do you feel?
I feel like, I hope that the listeners are thinking, no way.
I told Janice at work, it's Aislinn's son's 21st birthday today. She's got kids.
Uh-huh.
Whoa. No way.
Good. I don't feel older. It's hard to fathom that I have a child, like mine, that's 21. Where did the time go?
It goes by fast.
I try really hard to explain to him what a huge, monumental thing he was to my life and how everything about him being in it has made it better. Do that, say that without putting pressure on him to be the best, you know, because I know that he takes on a lot of pressure. And he wants to do everything right and everything perfect. And that's part of his personality.
Janice asked me today, and how long have you been together? Like, in other words, how long have you been in Cortland's life?
Mm-hmm. He turned 14 while we were together. Like, right at the beginning.
Yeah, that's why I told her it was 14. So yeah. That's me observing that he was problemless. He caused us zero grief.
Zero grief.
He did more than his part around here.
He was the kid who could play with anyone. I remember this one time, this one kid, he was having a hard time. He just couldn't get along with really anybody. He whacked Cortland in the head with a golf club. And Cortland was like, yeah, that hurt. And I asked him not to do that again. But it's okay, Mom. He was just having a hard time.
I tried to text him this morning and he texted me back that he was at work.
Yeah.
I texted back, hey, man, happy 21st. I wish I was there for you to enjoy your first beer. So.
Your first beer.
Good
exactly.
Boy. Good kid. Well, congratulations.
Yes, yes, yes. Mother of a 21-year-old. Of course, it's not all about me.
Okay.
I had this great opportunity last Friday.
What'd you do?
I got invited to come out to the Canale Dairy Farm.
Oh, that's right.
Sandia, Texas.
When you told me what you were going to do, I got so jealous. It sounded like it was going to be a
like something I'd fly all the something I'd fly all the way to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and pay hundreds of dollars to do on someone else's farm with like hundreds of people. Yeah, so that's what I did.
Okay, so what did you see at a dairy farm?
It was so.
Who gets to go to a dairy farm?
Oh my God, it was so freaking great, you guys! I cannot even tell you how exciting this freaking experience was. Seriously, so my friend Joe Canale took over the farm from his dad. His dad was basically about to retire out and be done. And there are dairy farmers all across the country that are going out of business. They're just turning it over and being done with it. And Joe, he's junior, said to his dad, we're going to do this. My wife and I are going to do this. And within a few years, they decided that what they were doing with today's world was not going to work for making money.
They felt trapped in some kind of old model that was no longer, what, profitable, I suppose.
It was no longer profitable. So what they are doing has been moving their dairy farm towards a low pasteurization facility on site, boutique milk and cheese and who knows what else kind of dairy products that will come out of their facility, and shifting the way they do the whole dairy farm. And some of it's been questioned. Like we even talked about the veal and, you know, some of the ways that some of that stuff's been handled in the past in the dairy industry or even in the current dairy industry. They just didn't want to do it that way anymore. It wasn't efficient. It wasn't good for the animals. The animals weren't producing as well. Changing how they farm, including the way they do their grass, you know, for the animals, the way they pair the calves up with the nursing mamas, just everything about how they do it. So let's back up a little bit. Raw milk is illegal in Texas, and raw milk is illegal in other states. In some states, it is legal. One of the things I learned even from the Canales is that there's a specific bacteria, I believe, that can get into the milk that can cause paralysis. And so that's the reason why pasteurization became a thing.
all milk across the board, milk.
Correct. Immediately, what happens with me is I get very libertarian. You know, I get like, well, screw you. I can do whatever I want. But as I was listening to him discuss it, it sounds to me like part of the reason why Texas has been so hard on this particular one is because we have that bacteria in our state.
Okay.
And there's another bacteria that can be passed from the wild hogs, and we have a lot of freaking wild hogs. And so there's some concern there. The USDA is learning about a bunch of
different
things.
So Texas has a higher standard because we are more susceptible to this particularly nasty bacteria.
Potentially. Gotcha. Now, I haven't dug deeper into that specifically.
Sounds like you can answer the unanswered question next
week. I don't know. That's a deep one. I'm not even sure.
Bring the research.
You're going to find a lot.
I can't wait to see what happens.
This is a Politico conversation, by the way.
All right, go ahead.
As many times as I get asked to help someone find bee removers, which is every day, I get asked that same question about raw milk.
Where can I get raw milk?
And I say, well, you can't buy raw milk in Texas. What? Yeah. Now, you can go to a dairy locally and you can buy milk from them, but they're selling you milk for you to feed your animals with, not for you to drink. So I thought to myself, you know what? I'm so tired of answering that question. I'm going to get myself a dairy cow. I'm going to name her Liberty. She's going to have flowers on her head.
I had already pictured the whole thing. Yeah. You were very insistent that you're going to get a dairy cow out of the farm.
Listen, we herded cows on a gator. I mean, not drove a gator and shooed cows.
Mm-hmm.
We literally herded.
See, that's what I would be jealous of.
Like a cowboy on a gator.
Did you have a cowboy hat on?
No, I had my red bandana and I was the hippie homesteader.
I'm trying to bank a mental image of you. Go ahead, continue.
Here's the other fun part of this story is that
I think there's three stories going. Go ahead.
Oh my God, there's like so many stories. It was such a great day. Like, I just have no idea how to explain to you what a great day is. So I pull up on this property. You have helped me map it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like driving up in Texas in the dark in the middle
out
of the country.
Yeah.
And I ain't getting out of my car unless I know I'm on the right farm.
Sure.
Because in Texas, we got guns. And so I like called him up and he's like, yeah. So I get out of my car. I go around to the back where his porch is. And there's a baby cow on the porch. Oh my God. Like, that's literally my first thing that I see. So he says, okay, when the sun starts coming up just a little bit, we get on the gator. And then we're going to drive across the pasture. We're going to go find all the cows. And we're going to shoo them up to the dairy. And so we set out across this amazing coastal Bermuda grass pasture, and we're looking for the mamas. And then we drive up to 50 mama cows just laying in the grass. And he starts kind of, hey, 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 calling up, kind of waking them up. Oh, screw you, man. I'm still asleep. Like, they lumber up. You know, they move their whole big old bodies, and you get up, and they've got these ginormous udders. I mean, they are just full of milk, like wah, wah, wah. They're literally heading straight up to the dairy, on their way up to the dairy. And then his wife comes down like later on, because she says, I sleep in, you know, and she says, hey, you want to go with me? I'm going to go feed the babies. Oh, I'm going to go milk the babies.
There's only one answer to that question.
Oh my God, Joe, they are so freaking sweet. And we found this one that had literally been dropped. It didn't even have its ear tags on yet.
Oh, you saw like a baby.
Overnight.
You were in heaven.
It was so amazing. Big, luscious eyelashes on these babies and all these mamas.
Any floral wreaths?
No floral wreaths, but I'll tell you that I wouldn't be surprised if they have.
Did you make the suggestion?
When they start getting like guests come in to buy milk off the farm, it's going to be a masterpiece. They're going to have it so well done out there.
What an adventure.
So they're not open yet, but those of you that live in our area, before too long, a low pasteurization boutique cheese. It's going to be so awesome. I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud of our local farmers. And those people are some of the kindest, nicest people. And when I left that day, I kind of was with them when they were like doing some test batches of cheese and doing one of their first big pasteurizations with their facility that they've got almost up and running now. They were like, Aislinn, you are family. You come out anytime you want to. And then this goes back to me getting a cow. He said, are you sure you want a cow? After all the things I had seen that day. And it was a lot. I mean, there was a lot of work. There was a lot of stuff going on out there. He goes, you know, you don't got to buy the cow if you can get the milk for free.
Oh, yeah. It might be worth the drive.
I just loved them, and it was such a fun adventure, and I'm so thankful to be invited. And I'm telling you, like, I felt like I was the most privileged person in the whole Coastal Bend to get to have that experience with them.
Okay, listen, I'm sick of this cat and mouse game that we're playing. We've got to come up with an unanswered question stinger, and we got to do it quick. You liked one of the five bird calls that I brought to the table.
I like the prairie chicken. The jungle chicken? Come on.
Okay. Then we decided, let's do mystical sounds. Things that provoke the answers to questions, or the idea that there are unanswered questions in this universe, and we seek to attain the answers to these questions at all times.
I think I said something about voodoo.
I've got three things for you to listen to. I really hope that we can brainstorm this out today. Here's the first one.
Unanswered questions.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right?
Now I know why you were calling the thunderstorm at the beginning of the podcast sexy.
Yeah, that's what I did. The idea of there's a storm in our mind, an unanswered question. We need to get back to the peace after we answer it.
I just like the sound of thunder, so.
Okay, here's the second one.
Unanswered questions.
That's like bells going off in our brains, or what?
Wind chimes. One signifying earth and fire and wind. It's very meditative. It's a thing.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Interesting, interesting. Right. These are super mellow.
I've got one more.
Ooh. Unanswered questions.
Ooh. I love it.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, now what if I blended thunder underneath?
That sound, that actually sounds like me in the morning. Omnimo.
I heard it this morning, and I do the thing where I'm leaving the house. Let's get this out on the table. I'm leaving the house, and you're in the middle of that, but I like to kiss you goodbye and say, hey, I'm walking out the door.
That was not this morning. That was yesterday.
So
morning.
I come out.
I left you this morning early with the chickens because I went to the farm.
So I come out, and you're kind of in the middle of a thing like that. Not exactly that. I didn't know what to do. So I kind of whispered, I'm leaving. And they go, oh, come kiss me. Come kiss me. Well, I didn't want to interrupt your thing. Well, you already interrupted it.
You did.
But I was going to say goodbye.
Just come out and kiss me and say goodbye.
That's always the answer.
Yes.
Love it. Is that our new unanswered question?
I think it's kind of great. It's kind of, it feels like maybe that's like where this season two is going. Not that we're going to get all weird and woo-woo on everybody, like every episode, because we mostly just want to make you laugh. But at the same time, there's a very, very deep movement towards leveling up and shifting in the paradigm. And the fact of the matter is that 2020, you got to do something, man. You got to do something.
So we're going to ohm our way into the answers to all of the unanswered questions in our life.
Yes.
We only have one this week, and it's about grated cheese. The question was, what's in that bag of grated cheese that keeps it grated and not congealed?
Right.
This question couldn't be more prescient, because as soon as these microphones get turned off tonight, I'm going to make tacos, and guess what I'm going to need?
Grated cheese.
I was in the grocery store earlier today.
Did you buy a block or did you buy grated cheese?
I looked at the back of both.
Uh-huh.
I picked a major brand that's probably available in your supermarket. The ingredients to a block of cheddar cheese are cheddar cheese and the ingredients, annatto, parentheses, color, modified cornstarch added to prevent caking, and natamycin, a natural mold inhibitor. I turned over the grated cheese bag, cheddar. Annatto and natamycin, gone is the modified cornstarch. But what was interesting was that natamycin, which was to inhibit the mold, is in both. Annatto is an orange-red condiment and food coloring derived from the seeds of the achiote tree.
We have that. We grow that tree around here.
It's often used to impart a yellow or orange color to foods. Now, that's fascinating to me, the idea that color is added to cheddar cheese to make it look like that block of cheddar cheese.
The color you know of cheese. You've got to make it this color.
I'm not surprised.
Cornstarch in the grated but not in the block?
Correct. Cornstarch is the anti-caking agent. Then I looked up natamycin.
It's a yeast, right?
It was discovered in the 60s. It is a derivation of soil fungus. It's not the worst thing you can eat, but it can also be refined into a medication used to treat infections.
Yeast.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Uh-huh.
That's in your cheese.
Yeah.
Now, when you go to the farmer's market, that's not in your cheese.
It might be.
I am going to ask.
Yeah.
Last week you offended all of the basic food eaters.
I did not.
You did.
Let me tell you folks something about me. I might tell you that a basic American cuisine, like a steak and a baked potato and a salad, is basic. But I will also tell you, this girl's from South Texas, and a steak and baked potato and a good salad is the bomb.
I can almost
freaking love it.
I can almost read you like a barometer and know when you need a steak and baked potato and fresh salad injection.
It's actually like a deep comfort food for me.
I know.
It's like I need some protein.
Yeah.
I need some big old starchy baked potato and I need a good salad.
And a baked potato.
You're going to need to feed me some more protein.
Is right up your alley.
I love baked potatoes.
I'm going to tell you how I make a steak.
I'm kind of addicted to baked potatoes, actually.
I do not take the time to grill outdoors.
No, you don't.
I will not accept your wrinkled brow and eyebrows as a condemnation of the idea that I'm not going to add another hour
but
to dinner to get the coals ready.
But when we get to the farm, I'm going to have my daddy make me a steak on the grill from time to time.
He can make two of them while he's at it.
Mm.
I'll eat a steak that your dad makes. Mm. And every once in a while, I'll make a steak.
Nice.
So I do it indoors, and I use a cast iron big rectangle that goes on two gas burners, and on one side it's flat, and on the other side it's got grate, so you can put grate marks on a steak. It's what I use to make my tortillas hot. It's what I use to make my bacon. It's an essential kitchen tool for me. I put it with the grate up, and I turn it up as high as it'll go, and I wait until it's smoking. Now, I've already gotten my steak well into room temperature, and I'm putting only salt and pepper on it. That's it.
When we met, I was real particular about steak, and you knew that.
Yeah.
I want a true medium rare steak.
I have
more rare than medium.
For almost a decade to learn it.
And I would always say, you need to make sure that everything else is done before you start cooking the steak.
Oh yeah. The timing of this.
Because the timing's got to be perfect.
You want to talk about meal timing? Here's how I do it. The bottleneck of our time is going to be the baked potato. So that goes in first. Then the salad get made. Then when the potatoes are done, the oven gets turned off and cracked. Make your steak. Everything's perfect.
There's a whole thing. Like I have
You have a lot of expectations.
I do. It's true. My partner, my man, my masculine power needs to be able to make me a steak real good.
Well, then at the end of this conversation, I'm going to ask you how I'm doing. Grade me.
I think your steaks are great. You don't have to wait till the end of the conversation. I think you do. I think you do a really good job, even if you cook it on the grill inside.
So I get that motherfucker hot and I throw it down and I set a timer for 1 minute and then I flip it and it's super sear hot on both sides. I'm locking in the juice with that initial sear. Then after another minute, I turn that cast iron down to about medium. That's the beauty of cast iron. It didn't just sit there and retain the heat. It temperature adjusts for about, well, it depends on the cut, but the thickness of the sirloin typically, or two T-bones in this case.
T-bones.
We're limited in the amount of cuts and type of cuts by where we shop, which is the farmer's market.
We buy our beef from local farmers. We're pretty
buy your food as local as often as you possibly can.
Yeah. And the meat thing, I would be a vegetarian if I didn't have access to that clean, what I consider clean meat.
So I'm limited to what they have available. Usually a sirloin, usually a T-bone, sometimes a New York strip, sometimes a Chateaubriand, but I don't pay. I'm not going to pay for that. It's too expensive.
Really?
Oh.
What the f***? Holding out, man.
I need to save up and get us a Chateaubriand one time?
Yeah, certainly something I can celebrate, man. Come on.
Okay.
Bottle of champagne.
Bought some brisket from them.
Serve a girl up, man. Let's get wealthy.
I understand exactly what you're saying, but I'm not going to turn my nose up at what we came out with the other night.
No, I agree.
Slap those two T-bones on 1 minute. Turn it down. Then at that medium, 4 to 5 minutes a side, depending on how thick that thing is. And then you rest them. You put them over here for 10 minutes.
I do have a question for you.
I have an answer.
About wealth.
I'd like to hear it.
How much did those T-bones cost? Approximately.
$16 a piece.
There you go. For those of you that are out there deciding whether you want to buy steaks from the farmer's market or not.
To get that clean meat from people that we know and how the cow was handled. Mm-hmm. Those things that I know are the most important to you and me.
And we could buy an entire half a cow.
You got to buy
a quarter cow, but we're just buying pieces of beef.
Well, the access point for what I just described as the farmer's market. We don't have a local butcher, like a storefront butcher like you'd find up in Austin and places north.
Well, we do, but they don't have local meat.
No, that's what I'm talking about. A locally available butcher. The other option, yeah, you mentioned it, is to buy a cow.
Yeah.
Or buy into a cow plan that someone else is raising.
Or get a nursing mama cow and feed out your own.
You mentioned that earlier. Get a mama cow. Mm-hmm. You have to have a male.
No, you don't. You have to have semen.
Artificial. Okay. And then you are
And that
birthing,
would be called a bull, by the way.
So you're birthing cows for the sole purposes of raising them for food?
Yes.
And you can control the how often they come along.
Yeah, and you
How
yes,
much does sperm
absolutely.
Cost?
I didn't ask that question. But yeah, the idea The idea would be, yeah, that we would have a mama cow and her job is to raise up these babies for us.
Is that how they do it out at the place? Can you answer that?
Kind of. It's not exactly how they do it, but yeah, kind of.
Because you told me that you saw a couple of funny sexcapades.
Oh, well, they have bulls.
Yeah.
They have humping bulls.
But out of the farm, in the situation that you're describing, which you're not inventing, the way that it works is artificially inseminated.
The way it would work for us. Okay. Well, that would be the way it would work for us.
Because there are stud services.
Yeah, but bulls are hard to move.
Yeah.
So I know the answer for us would be artificial insemination. I believe that that's most of the time the answer when someone just has a dairy cow.
It's not the answer to any other question we've ever asked on the dinner table before. Salad's made. I've already got some fresh homemade ranch.
Yep. Homemade ranch. You got to have it.
Talked about that last season. I don't think we need to talk about that recipe again.
We're definitely Southern. The people that are listening to this that are from the North are like, they sure do eat a lot of ranch dressing. You know, like... The food escapades that we have are funny.
Are you telling me I haven't made any other salad dressings?
It's my favorite.
I'm going to tell you how I make it then.
Didn't we do this already?
We're going to do it again. I take my 5.3-ounce thing of Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
The same exact amount of mayonnaise. Uh-huh. The same amount of milk. Uh-huh. Now it's just seasoning.
Pull out some of my delicious fresh and dried herbs
pepper,
from the backyard.
Yeah, dill, parsley. Mm-hmm. Garlic powder, onion powder.
So that we're going to have more parsley.
A squirt of lemon juice. Whisk, 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 whisk. Taste. Maybe Aislinn. Mm-hmm. They come in, they taste it. A little more lemon. A little more dill. A little more whatever. That's how we do it.
The noises that Joe makes are funny. Yeah, that.
So that was the meal. Steak, baked potato, salad.
Yeah. Basic American cuisine.
We do it well. We do it
fantastic.
Here
delicious goodness. We've mentioned that one of the things about having dinner table talks with teenagers, and now we've got the oldest one is 21 and the youngest one is 14, the conversation of sex and respect and what can happen and what has happened, teaching our girls to protect themselves and teaching our boys to be respectful and, you know, all the different things.
Giving them a balance that feels the healthiest about access to social media and phones and all that crap.
Yeah. And then in the midst of all of that, we've had conversations about our current president and some of the things he's said. You know, we don't have to dig into that because this isn't a political conversation. And then we've had conversations about the Me Too movement. And so all of these things
the ways that it's woven into the dinner table.
Exactly.
These touchstone events.
Yeah. Currently, I believe that our entire universe, let's go deep, our entire universe is having to heal from sexual trauma, from however you want to call it, oppression of women and the use of sex as a good and a bad thing. I mean, even if you talk about like the Bible and patriarchy, and there's a deep, deep, deep healing that needs to happen.
America is very, very uptight about this topic.
Yeah. And so if you want to call it divinely timed or not, this course came up with a woman that actually lives in Corpus Christi that I knew before I ran across or resonated with her teaching. And I've talked about this before, but the concept is that there's like this boulder in the stream and I'm trying to just...
You're going down the river and a big boulder comes
up. I'm banging my head against the boulder. And
you put it there.
And the universe says, why the hell are you banging your head against the boulder? Kick that boulder down the river and let's keep moving, you know? And so because of that thought process in me, I had connected with her on some other things that she was doing about, let's get rid of all this crap. Let's get this stuff out of you so that you can keep doing all of the things that you want to do, all of the healing.
Well, you explained it to me that statistically, more women than we want to talk about have experienced all kinds of sexual trauma.
Oh, yeah.
They hold on to it, and that becomes an inhibitor for them to be able to excel sometimes.
Absolutely.
Her goal was to get this information out to as many people as she could because she feels like it's divinely timed for exactly what we're going through. And interestingly enough, there's a lot of political conversations about sexual trauma going on right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you know what? I need to do this. And a funny thing about me, and you know this about me, I don't want to talk about the negative shit.
Yeah.
Because if I talk about the negative shit, then I'm going to manifest it. And my background comes with a lot of trauma. Not all necessarily sexual trauma, although there is some of that in there as well. But I have physical trauma. Car wreck, lawnmower. I have some physical trauma. I have some problems with letting go of things that will cause me pain. So anything that has happened to me, I have depressed it. Just pushed it deeper inside of me. Deep, 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 deep.
I don't want to deal with it.
I don't want to look at it. I don't want to feel that pain.
Yeah.
When I think about that, it makes me nauseous. You know this about me.
Yeah.
I don't watch any movie.
I reach for the remote control if I think something's going to go into a specific direction.
If there's any kind of aggressive sex in a movie, it makes me want to vomit. It makes me sick. And so when she said she was doing this course, I was like, you know what? I think I need to tap into whatever she's got going on there because I think that I want to get past that. I want to get past the idea that I can't even think about something like that without just wanting to throw up. And you had mentioned earlier just that every woman has dealt with some sort of sexual trauma, even if it's as simple as the guy yelling at the car door, out the car window at her. And so in the midst of the conversations at the dinner table, I was having a conversation with the girls the other day. You know, I'm taking this course and, you know, just kind of trying to share with them because they're at the age where, you know, shit happens.
I'm paddling my canoe in the sea of estrogen at dinner time.
I mean, even if you have, and I said this too, because your 14-year-old is in there. I said, even if you haven't had it yet, you will have a cat call. Someone will call out to you.
Yeah,
look how cute you are in your shorts.
We were in this weird, honest moment.
Yeah,
where dad is like, do I even want to hear this? But she let it go.
And she said, oh God, yeah. She's like, yeah, I get catcalled at. It made me think about that time when Lily was about her age, so a couple years younger, and we had gone out downtown, and her best friend had their little tiny short shorts and their crop tops on, and they're like 15-year-old girls. And the initial thought is, you know, oh, what are people going to think about these 15-year-olds and their buns are hanging out and they're da-da-da. And I was thinking to myself, they're so beautiful and they're cute little buns. And you only have those cute little buns for so long. And I just, and see, to me, they're like these rosy-cheeked little baby girls that like 9 pounds, 5 ounces of rosy, delicious, lovey baby,
right?
But to someone else, they're, you know, the reason I decided that it was okay to talk about it was because day before yesterday, I felt like, shit, man, I don't know what I've done here. I don't know what I've dug into because there's some real ugly stuff coming up, you know, the real conversation, a deep conversation here. There's been some bad shit that's happened to me and I've been told I deserved it. That doesn't have anything to do with like my, it wasn't my family. My family didn't say you deserved that. My family would never say that. My family would have probably got a gun, you know, if they had been in the moment and heard the story. And what I learned is that it's created this like anger inside of me. You hear me cussing at the big trucks that are driving by, you know, this big old farm truck with this man behind it and he's bullying his way through the highway. That anger isn't about a man in a truck driving. That anger is about a man in a truck, a bully, you know, because that's what I have felt.
With the different traumas, the vehicular trauma. So this truck's going to be a little more scary to you than me. And then some of the male aggression that you've encountered over life.
And I told
it's
you
all
the story.
Perfectly what personified in one guy in a truck.
Exactly. And if you think about exactly what happened when that wreck happened, it was a huge Dodge Ram pickup truck with a welding machine on the back. We were literally at a stop and he ran through our car and into the car in front of us. That is like the manifestation of everything I hate about trauma. And so it has created this like anger and hurt and hate inside of me. And I want it to go away.
You're trying to unpack it all.
I want it to go away. And I think
that's the block, potentially.
It's definitely a part of it.
For leveling up.
It's definitely a part of it. And I think that is what is going on in our universe right now. I think that's what's going on. And I feel like it's not just me unpacking for myself. I think it's me, along with many other people, unpacking for us all. And the reason I wanted to talk about it today, when I brought it up the other day and kind of pushed it out, that this is scary. I've dug this stuff up. I don't know whether I can handle this. And then it was responded to even by a few men that were like, we don't even know what you're talking about, but we're going to pray for you. And I thought, yeah, you know what? That's what it is. And I said to our friend, as we were kind of talking about some of the politico conversations that are happening right now about this particular subject, that I personally believe that the answer is not aggression and screaming at it. I believe the answer is us healing, and not necessarily with this particular course, but your own way of healing, healing our own trauma. And we're talking about that women were owned not that long ago.
Right. You were chattel.
Right. And that we were getting married when we were 12, up to my grandmother got married when she was 13.
Yeah, mine was 14.
And so there's some stuff there that just, it's time to let it go. It's time to get it out of there. It's time to clean it up. And the other part of that is that I'm talking to our daughters. We're having these dinner table conversations where they're sharing their own experiences and what they're going through. And last night at the dinner table with my parents there, by the way, your daughter got into the conversation when we started talking about it. And she's got an opinion. And her opinion about dress codes at the school is, hey, come on, man. Why do I have to cover my shoulders with a nice tank top because the boy sitting next to me can't handle himself?
While the boy gets to wear a tank top.
Well, the boy wears whatever he wants to wear. But the girl has to wear jeans to her, you know, shorts to her knees. And, you know,
because the boys can't handle the knees.
Right. And so there's a whole like deeper thing going on here that is big. And I honestly believe that if we did some unpacking, and here's the thing, there are some people out there that are listening to this and thinking, we have no idea what she's even talking about. And that's okay, because it's not going to resonate with everyone. But those of you that it does resonate with, I feel like it's time for us all to start releasing it for our daughters and our granddaughters and our great-great-granddaughters. And I personally am taking this on for a legacy. I want to literally shift my whole family dynamic. And my mom and I had a conversation about it this morning, and she was talking about the generations of things that have happened, you know. And I said, I'm taking this on. I believe that some of the things that happened to me, the trauma that happened to me, is why I'm here right now doing exactly what I'm doing right now, so that I can be a part of helping to release this so that we can move on and live in a better world.
Is there an easy way to explain how someone begins?
Looking at it and screaming at it and then telling it what you would rather have, what you want instead. That's the easiest way. Look at it, scream at it. I dry heave, man. I mean, I'm letting it out. I'm letting it all out. I cry. I scream. I look at it and I call it what it is. I feel shame. Why do I feel shame? Doesn't matter. I feel guilty. Why do you feel guilty? I don't know. Doesn't matter. I feel that though. I feel embarrassed. I protect myself by gaining weight, or I protect myself by wearing clothes that cover me. I'm not allowed to be sexy. I say it. I say the words. I say the things.
But the idea would be that you don't believe those things, so you have to quit saying them eventually.
No, ultimately the idea is you do believe those things, but you can't let them go until you are honest with yourself.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You got to be honest with yourself. Because, and this just goes way, way deeper than we can get into today, but the idea is that you create your own reality. Why did you create that? Why did I come to this earth to create that pain for myself? And there's a lot of people that won't connect with that.
Heavy.
It's very heavy. But, you know, I want us to move on.
I guess the dinner table is heavy sometimes.
It is sometimes. And one of the things that we've learned, especially this year in 2020, with all of the heavy, heavy shit that we've had to like work through, that there was something, there's something about 2020 that calls for that. And I have said, you get to choose which road you're going to go down. And you can see it right now. You can see people choosing light and love and honesty and trust and leveling up and shifting. And then you can see people screaming and hurting and yelling, beating. You can see it. You get to choose. You get to choose.
World's worst segue. We chose a Greek steak salad the other night.
World's worst segue. Can we get back to laughing again? Well, I had harvested a couple of pretty eggplant from the backyard.
They were white.
Kind of. They were white purple. And I had seen that one of the farmers at the farmer's market had a bunch of those really pretty white ones, mm-hmm. all white.
Yeah.
And I had told her, like, save those for me. I'm going to come and pick those up from you. I'm going to make baba ganoush with them. So I had collected those and had put them aside. And of course, I've got all the basil that anybody could ever want right now. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to make basil hummus. So you had gone ahead and made the chickpeas for me because yeah. you'd made the chicken masala and yep. you needed the chickpeas to go in that. So you'd made just enough for me to do the hummus.
I bought
well.
A bag of chickpeas. I stuck them in the Instant Pot with 3/4 cup of water. You do it for like 15 minutes and boom, they're perfect. And we used yeah. half of them for the masala last week. Yeah.
No reason to ever buy canned chickpeas again when you have an Instant Pot.
That's the truth.
And so I had thought to myself, this is what I'm going to suggest for dinner, that we make baba ganoush and hummus, and then I'm going to get really busy when it's time to make baba ganoush and hummus so that Joe can make baba ganoush and hummus yeah. and a Greek salad with some delicious Greek steak on top.
It was a Mediterranean feast.
It was delicious. And I did con you into making all of the food.
Oh, no problem. I just went out to the garage freezer and pulled out a sirloin.
Yeah. And it was a pretty easy meal to pull together because baba ganoush and hummus is actually very easy to make. If you want to get kind of the recipe, ingredient, and how to make these easy dishes to make, go over to my YouTube channel and check out my videos, Aislinn Campbell's YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And I did do an episode about baba ganoush. The hummus itself is pine nuts, basil, garlic, chickpeas, olive oil, water, lemon juice, and then we used some habanero paste.
Yeah.
And you literally just process it.
Yeah.
And then it's made.
Done. And don't tell me I only make ranch because I made an amazing Greek dressing. And I'm going to put all these recipes up on our social media. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And you marinated the steak.
The steak for hours in a Greek marinade. It was
delicious.
It was
dressing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Just and like so, that lamb bowl. Uh-huh. That sometimes it's in our rotation when yeah. we have lamb available to us. I think this should just go into the rotation.
I completely agree.
A big Greek salad. I went to the grocery store to buy the feta cheese and some Kalamata olives
yeah.
and
yeah.
red onion, which I don't cook with often, but it was incredible. Just tossed it all together with this homemade dressing.
Baba
ganoush, hummus, and then I bought some pita bread, put that on the grill top for a little while, and God, it was delicious.
Listen, I drew a question already for Table Topics.
I'm ready.
Table Topics. And I'm really excited about this question.
Bring it to me.
All things considered about what we're talking about and what we've been talking about, and ultimately, aside from healing the generations of wounds.
I hope it's what's your favorite sugar cereal. Go ahead.
It's not what's your favorite sugar cereal. It is
Lucky Charms.
What's the most extravagant thing you've ever purchased for yourself? Extravagant.
I don't purchase extravagant things for myself. So I'm having to really go back in time and rack my brain.
I buy hats. Fancy hats.
Oh, I was trying to think like high dollar.
Oh, well, an extravagant thing could be a $200 hat that you like aren't even sure you had $200 in the checking account to pay for.
That is true. The answer for me is an Omega watch that I don't own any longer because it got water in it when it wasn't supposed to.
Uh-oh.
And I've bought myself expensive sunglasses before, but I always lose them.
I do think about my prescription sunglasses. Those bitches were expensive.
And you're very good at caring for them and keeping them in the proper cases.
Oh my God, they were so expensive.
Them. So I have kind of developed a get your sunglasses at the convenience store attitude, and a $35 watch is fine if it
Oh God, tells my $35 time. Watch is the way to go.
So I think when we go to the farmer's market and buy T-bones.
I want that other expensive one. I don't even know what it is, but I want it.
Our extravagance is the Chateaubriand.
I want that one.
Extravagances are when we dine out. We usually go large.
Yes. I'm your most extravagant expense. I'm your most extravagant.
I have a more excellent Campbell's the answer. You know what it is?
It is the answer.
What an extravagance. I need to take more advantage of how awesome it is to be around.
Do you know what I want?
An extravagance?
Something extravagant. I'm going to have it too.
You like vacations.
I do, but this is like something you would never believe I want, but I want it real bad and I'm going to get it someday.
But I'm not even going to try to guess.
I'm going to get it someday.
Go ahead.
I want a Range Rover, a black Range Rover. I want it real bad.
My initial thought was to say something bad about Range Rovers, but I'm just going to let you have that dream.
I don't care how expensive they are to take care of. I don't care. Because one of these days, I'm going to be the hippest, coolest, public speaking, awesome garden sanctuary loving mama with her awesome beads and her cute little bob haircut with a platinum color, red color, whatever I want. I'll be driving around my awesome Range Rover. I'm telling you right now.
If you do what I'm about to suggest, you're not going to see a Range Rover, but I do have a suggestion for you.
Okay.
Go look in the mirror.
I'm already that. More rare than medium.
Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Dinner Table Talks. We will be back next Monday with a fresh episode. In the meantime,
hit us up on social media, send us an email, DM us, whatever. We want to hear from you.
And we hope that you're enjoying the episodes as much as we enjoy creating them for you.